It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Good morning and welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. This is Barry Hess sitting in, and man, we have got a day for you. So turn it up, sit back, grab a cold one, and you're going to enjoy what you hear today. We've got on the line with us Ernest Hancock, live from FedStock, down in Pennsylvania, and he's going to tell us all about it. We're going to have some great guests, so strap in and buckle up. Mr. Hancock, are you with us?
I am, Barry. Here, you know, today we just came from a peace demonstration in front of Lockheed Martin. It's Good Friday. It'll be Easter this weekend, and it's an appropriate time every year they go down to protest the war profiting of Lockheed Martin. And there's a lot of information there I'll be sharing with the audience next week. I had them give me a printed out version of the presentation that they had, because they had a lot of really cool facts that I didn't know about Lockheed Martin. I'll be sharing that. And what we're going to do today, I have James Babb. He's a longtime friend and libertarian activist here, and he's co-founder of WeWon'tFly.com. You guys remember when we were doing the TSA We Won't Fly packages that we have, you know, the opt-out bags with the blue gloves and our, you know, Godzilla radiation dosimeter badges and all that kind of stuff. Well, that was prompted by James Babb and George Donnelly, and he's the co-organizer of FedStock that starts tomorrow. And so they have a beautiful program, and it's just, I've got a lot of great speakers, and they put a lot into this, and I'm really looking forward to that. So we'll be talking to James first, and then Darren Wolf is founder of Focus on Peace. It's a politically neutral peace movement trying to include everybody and stay focused on one issue instead of, you know, we're against war because we need the money for Obamacare or something. I mean, there's always something else they want to do with the money. But he's just like, hey, man, how about we just stop killing people? Let's do that one. So we have a couple of good libertarians here. I'm going to introduce James Babb. I know you know James.
Yep.
And he knows what's going on here over the next couple of days. We got events tonight. We just came from it. And I came from Phoenix. You know, I'm like, you know, Donna checked the weather and so on. It was 80 and all that kind of stuff. I didn't bring a jacket. I froze my butt off, but he was kind enough to let me wear his jacket and froze his butt off. So I'll give you to James Babb here.
Well, welcome, James Babb. How are you?
Great. Good to be with you.
Well, it's a thrill. What a great opportunity to have FedStock. I thought it was so appropriate on Good Friday. I mean, we got the resurrection, or the idea of the resurrection of a free people, through FedStock and a lot of other events. Tell us all about it.
Well, FedStock is a grassroots movement to raise awareness about the Federal Reserve, which is the engine of war, and it is the root cause of the economic problems that we're facing right now. So part of the function is to raise awareness, but it's also an opportunity to sort of mobilize our base and to have a fun time while we educate people. So in addition to having great speakers like Ernie, Adam Kokesh, it's going to be a great time, but we also have a musical component. So we're after the speeches, we're going to turn our back on the Fed, march through Philadelphia with what we call a rogue parade float. Basically, it's Jordan Page with a PA system on a parade float as we march up and down Market Street with several hundred demonstrators, passing out thousands of flyers. It's quite a spectacle. It's an absolute blast. And then we're going to end up at a concert where we're going to be treated to a concert by Jordan Page and other musicians. So it's informative, it's important, but it's also a total blast.
I think you're going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, I like Jordan. Jordan is a great performer, and his words just ring so true. He's kind of like a Ron Paul with a musical beat. He seems to say the right thing at the right time. Hey, get somebody to put a sign up there on Market Street and just a little word "free" in front of it.
That's a great idea.
So tell us about some of your lineup and what's going to happen and what is your objective? I mean, why are you razzling all these people, getting them all riled up about this stuff?
Well, you know, really, I mean, my purpose is to have a fun time. You know, there's going to be hundreds of my friends there, and it's an excuse to get together with people like Ernie and, you know, and Darren and the other organizers, Rob Pepe and Mike Salvi. This is our opportunity to, you know, to really bring together our forces and enjoy some camaraderie and to bring awareness about the Federal Reserve. I mean, it is really difficult to educate people about something. I mean, out in the news, they hear Federal Reserve, people's eyes just glaze over. They really have no interest whatsoever in monetary policy or understanding these things. But yet, they're so important because since 1913, it's enabled all the wars. It's enabled this plunder. It's enabled so much death and destruction and so much misery and despair that if we can't communicate these things with people, we have no chance of an alternative. So that's why I'm involved with it, and that's why I think many people, you know, have put their heart and soul into these efforts, because we really want to let people know that there's an alternative and also to educate people about what they can do to right now before we end the Fed to reduce their Federal Reserve footprint, so to speak.
And that's a really good idea, because we were talking yesterday about what happens when the U.S. Federal Reserve note dollar loses its reserve currency status. At that point, no other nation has any interest or vested interest in us. They'll simply walk away, and our dollars, the Federal Reserve notes, just become absolutely worthless. And people don't understand. Well, our job is to educate and to make sure they do understand. I am so grateful to Dr. Ron Paul, because he's the one who brought the Fed up into the public light, where people are starting to at least acknowledge the Federal Reserve. There might be something a little squirrely there.
Good point. Yeah, the good doctor, he's definitely put this on the map, especially for young people. So I'm also very grateful to him for that.
Well, just last night, my sister came into town, and at my nephew's place, these are just after college age kids. It was really funny, because when one of the guests walked in, they came up and introduced himself. He had a book in his hand he had just bought about the currency, you know, how money works and what it does. And it was funny, because here's a little long-haired kid, you know, you'd think he doesn't care. Yes, he does. Oh, man, these young people are all over it, because they're seeing the writing on the wall of those rocks in their backpack that all of these political clowns are putting on them.
That's a wonderful thing. And these kids that are involved with this movement, they're so far ahead of where I was when I was their age. I can only sit back in awe at their ability. We've got a group at Drexel University here in Philly called the Student Liberty Front. These are the brightest of the bright. They can tell you the difference between every Austrian economist. And they're like 20, 21, 22 years old. It really gives me a little bit of hope for the future.
Oh, absolutely. The interest. I mean, when you look at it from their perspective, there is a sense of hopelessness all around them, that their entire life has already been mortgaged, everything they do. And that becomes very overwhelming. And what I've seen of young folks is it'll go one of two ways. Either they'll walk away and say, I'll let somebody else worry about it, or they'll get involved and think, God, the big part are the people who want to get involved. We'll be back with James Babb just after the break. Folks, stay tuned, sit down, hang on, because there's lots more coming. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Money. Money. Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound, a mark, a yen, a buck or a pound is all that makes the world go round, that clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round.
Yes, it does make the world go around. Money makes the world go around, and that's what FedStock is all about. We're on the line with James Babb down there at FedStock. James, are you with us?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, fantastic. Wasn't that a good intro?
Wonderful.
Well, let us know. What's going on? Tell us about it. What are you trying to communicate to people? You've got a bigger audience here, and let it fly.
Well, we want people to know that there are alternatives to central banking, and part of it is advertising what the Federal Reserve has done.
Sorry about that.
Part of it is also to educate people about what they can do right now to reduce their, we call it a Federal Reserve footprint. It's promoting the opportunities to barter or to use silver in voluntary exchanges instead of Federal Reserve notes, or to use gold, or to use chickens. It doesn't matter, but it's to promote the idea that we can, under certain circumstances, and we should do this whenever possible, to engage in voluntary free trade without Federal Reserve notes when we can. So that's why we have people participating, like Del Valle Silver, is one of the organizations that's one of the sponsors of FedStock. These guys are a local provider of their barter currency, which is 100% solid, gorgeous silver round. These guys are providing the tools for people that are trying to protect themselves, not only from what's to come, but just right now, to maintain the value of our currency means, you know, we need to be in possession of things like silver rounds instead of paper Federal Reserve notes.
I think that's a really good point. And a lot of people have said to me, how would it be practical to trade in silver and gold and all these kinds of things? Is there an answer to that?
Well, these institutions they exist to a certain degree already, and they're growing in popularity and they're adapting to the market. You can use electronic versions of gold and silver. I can use right now. I could send you maybe the equivalent of instead of PayPal, we could be using electronic gold and silver. And there are companies that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They are developing. They're growing. They're gaining popularity. And that's one of the ideas of FedStock is to promote these ideas and to encourage these institutions to grow. I mean, that's the agorist way. Build the institutions that will make the statist institutions irrelevant and absolutely unneeded.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was at Aaron Russo's funeral, and it's one of the very few that Dr. Paul had shown up to. And it was funny because I was commending him. It was my job to watch him and keep the flies off at the affair. And it was funny because I really thought of the wisdom in his words of he didn't want to, you know, get out there and freak everyone out initially about the Federal Reserve and how evil it is. But he had a brilliant idea that seemed pretty innocuous when he was saying, let's just allow for a competing currency. And that idea sent shockwaves throughout the economic world.
It's really exactly what is required right now is competing currencies. Just legalize it. I mean, look at what they did to Bernard von Nothaus for daring to offer something that was a real competition for the Federal Reserve note. And he grew to the point where they said, oh, you know, his very existence is a threat to ours. So they had to resort to extreme violence and theft to attempt to shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
But we really need Ron Paul and other people like that pushing to legalize competition of currency. How many people even know that it's illegal to voluntarily trade with gold and silver, you know, if they claim, oh, that's current money, which is some term that they've come up with, but they supposedly allow us to barter. But if you say, well, look, I want to challenge the Federal Reserve and I want to provide something that's just as useful, they don't like that.
Oh, no, you're allowed to argue about the rules, but you can't call BS on the whole game, which is what we're doing.
Exactly, and that is definitely something that they frown upon. They're pretty nice with us when we do these types of rallies and presentations. Of course, they're filming everybody. They've got snipers on the roof. Pennsylvania Homeland Security has a list of organizations to look out for, and the Fed was definitely cited in their reports of dangerous potential terrorists that they must monitor for the safety of Pennsylvania.
Well, see, that's the problem. What maybe you're overlooking is that your objective is to declare peace upon the world, and that doesn't go with the plan.
No, it doesn't. That's why we have to keep educating people, because we can't allow them to be the only ones spreading the information. So we're bypassing the major media, we're bypassing the status quo, and we're taking our message directly to the streets of Philadelphia and talking with people directly.
And, you know, it really is having an enormous effect, because it's more word of mouth than it is just a headline that people read here and there. The headlines are so deceptive. I applaud you for staying away from the major media. All you do is give them credibility and give them a story. You know, by putting yourself out there and in their studios and all that nonsense, we've all been around that bush. I'm like very much like Ernie. You know, the major media is just so last century. It just doesn't mean anything anymore. But people like you do, because you're out there actually doing something. You've got an idea that you can defend that makes sense, and that logically confronts what we have now, which is totally irrational and arbitrary, as the Federal Reserve System is.
Absolutely right.
And I wish I could be there, but my invite didn't show up in time.
I don't know what happened to that. You know, you're always welcome out here, Barry. In fact, we haven't seen you out in these parts in quite a while, so we need to rectify that.
Well, you know, I've been just really hesitant to fly commercially, and that's a lot of the reason why I've cut down on my traveling. I fear myself if I see some TSA guy groping a little kid. I'm not sure what I would do.
I'm pretty sure what I would do, and that's why I don't fly either.
Yeah, huh? I'm just saying, I'm not sure what I would do. I usually say there's going to be a felony committed shortly. And
I guess, you know, everybody's seen that video of poor Anna Drexel, the 6-year-old who was violated while her parents stood by and videotaped. That boggled my mind to think that a parent could actually stand there. And, you know, and I realized that the parents were also being intimidated.
Yeah, but there comes a point. I feel the same exact way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on with James Babb down at FedStock in Pennsylvania. And he's coming to you with a great message. Going to be back right after the break. So stick around. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence Today. We'll be back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, one solution, and we've got it. We've got the one man who is standing up with the one solution, the one heart, one soul. We've got James Babb on the line here at FedStock down in Pennsylvania, and we were going to talk a little bit about more about the don't fly. We won't fly.com. James, are you on with us?
Thank you.
Well, get to it. What did you want to talk about?
Okay, well, We Won't Fly, Ernie mentioned it earlier, it's a grassroots response to the TSA. We have a new project we're doing right now, we're trying to protect the children in the airport. And we talked about the video of poor Anna Drexel, and more parents are coming through with their horror stories about what's been done to the children, where they're being, they call it a pat-down, but it's really not a pat-down. It's an assault. And they're putting hands in the pants of children. They're pressing against their genitals. It's so unacceptable and outrageous that we feel that this is something that, you know, until we can completely abolish the TSA, I think reasonable people need to agree that we can have a zero tolerance policy towards abusing children, at least. I mean, you and I as adults, we can make that choice to say, you know what, I'm not going to fly. I know what's there. I'm not going to do it. Children don't even have that choice. So to me, it makes perfect sense to stand up for the children. And we have a petition that's linked to on wewon'tfly.com. And this is not just for the politicians where it's going to be hand-delivered to, but it's also going to be presented to industry leaders like Disney Corporation. And we want to let them know that, you know, for us, trips to Disney World are off if it means that our children might be assaulted on the way there. So we're hoping to recruit the full power of certain industries. It'd be really nice to have the Disney Corporation on our side with their, you know, with everything that they can bring to the table, from their media to their lobbying pressure to their ability to help us. So I just encourage people to go to wewon'tfly.com and look for that petition and get involved. And, you know, we really need as many people on board with that as possible.
I think that's a great idea. Start getting sponsorship, and you can certainly attract them by showing them what it's doing to their bottom line. Those evil corporations only look at bottom lines. Even the Disney Corporation isn't what it was when I was a kid. But in any event, that's the way to hit them, is the pocketbook. And at some point, it will come to bear. Because right now, we just have the TSA. They know they've got this monstrous, nonsensical plan in place. But they've spent so much money on these silly machines that literally haven't done anything for anybody except to expose them to radiation. The whole idea, they've got to act like they're useful. Otherwise, they just scrap them all, and poor Michael Chartoff, his stock would go down, and that would be bad.
You're right, and something we also have to look to is the alternatives that they're going to be presenting to us. They're already talking about them, and we may be in a frying pan situation headed for the fire, because now they're talking about internal passports, and they'll use euphemisms like safe traveler program. What we're really talking about is a permission slip to travel in our own country, and it could be so much worse than what we have now, where we actually hand over our freedom to travel directly to them and say, well, look, if all you have to do is, you know, show us your employment history, your credit report and your criminal background check and your fingerprint and your retina scan and this and that and the other, and hey, you won't have to be groped. You know, just do these things. And I'm afraid that many, many, many people will say, oh, that's fine. Yeah, okay, let's do that. And next thing you know, I mean, we really could be entrenched in a papers, please society. So I'm very concerned about what they've got coming next as well.
Well, and that's a real concern. But the lunacy of what they're proposing is, I mean, how easy would it be to get somebody one of those cards who's had a nice, clean lifestyle, one of the people who've been planted or people who have been here of like mind with those people who would harm others, and they would just get the trusted passenger okay, and then they go on and wreck their havoc. Then what? See, the card becomes absolutely useless.
Of course. Well, nothing they do is about security. It's all about using fear tactics to implement an agenda that they would like to do anyway, such as a national ID program and have more control over people's travel. I mean, if the economy really tanks and the dollar does what it could do, they're going to start needing to control people taking their resources away from the country. So having this kind of program in place, you know, would be a nice step in keeping people from taking their suitcase of silver to Mexico with them. It's all part of a control strategy that they'll use any excuse to implement it. Of course, it won't have anything to do with keeping us safe at the airport.
Oh, not at all. I've always said if we go to a smart card, I'm going to get four or five of them. and I'll just pick which one I'm using today. Then follow me.
Yeah. So, but you know, I'm also sort of excited to see the amount of resistance that is brewing. The excitement we've had around We Won't Fly, the tens of thousands of Facebook supporters, even mainstream media has really given us a lot of exposure. This is a popular resistance movement against the abuse at the airport. It's kind of something that even regular, you know, what do you think of as, you know, those normal law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, even they can see this is outrageous. I think of it as like a tip of the iceberg, because it's everything the government does, as we know, is some kind of hand in your pants or some kind of x-ray looking into your personal life. But this is an opportunity to sort of see it laid bare for people. And when they really see the true nature of the government, they're horrified by it. So for us libertarians, I think it's a teaching opportunity to say, like, yeah, well, you don't like the TSA? Well, of course not. Well, why does it exist? You know, why do we live in a police state? What does it have to do with the wars abroad? So it's a good opportunity. It's sort of a wedge issue, I think, to introduce a lot of people to wider libertarian concepts.
Well, yeah, you know, when we were putting together those TSA packages for the We Won't Fly Day, and that was definitely a hoot, what I thought would be really good and disconcerting to the authority would be to have people just hand out those blue gloves and have people just wear them. They don't have to do anything. It's just a sign that would not go unnoticed of all the people who are not real happy. Imagine a bunch of people walking around the airport with those little gate rape gloves on.
A great idea.
Well, I thought it would be kind of fun, because it would intimidate any officer or agent who would come up to you, because they already know your mindset. And hopefully you'll get on one of their lists. I mean, I would be embarrassed if I'm not on every one of their bad guys' lists.
I've done my best to get on the list, too. So.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, hopefully we won't have to get shot like Jim Dunzing and other people, you know, but it happens. And we just keep going. And what is it that drives you, James? I mean, seriously, why do you even care about all this stuff? Why do you care about your fellow man in such an obvious way?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I don't really have an answer. And in fact, you know, we hear talk of, you know, people that have either taken the red pill or the blue pill, you know, take the red pill and learn the truth, or take the blue pill and go back to sleep. And honestly, sometimes I wish it wasn't too late to take the blue pill, because once you learn the truth, there's no way of going back. And even if life is easier to live in blissful ignorance, I guess I've learned enough at this point that I have no choice but to at least, you know, try to share what I know with people and help reduce the suffering if I can, and help lead our society, at least in some tiny, tiny, minuscule way, in a better direction towards nonviolent and cooperative interaction instead of coercion and violence.
Well, God bless you for it. They're taking us out. We'll be back after the break with James Babb and another guest coming up soon.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Boy, don't we all want to change the world. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. This is Barry Hess sitting in today, and we've got live on the line from FedStock in Pennsylvania, Mr. James Babb, also of WeWon'tFly.com. James, are you still with us?
Hello, it's Ernie. He's taking a break now. I'm going to introduce Darren Wolf for this segment, founder of Focus on Peace, and he wanted to do this organization, because when dealing with people that are supporting peace, they always bring some other philosophical baggage with them. I want to introduce you to Darren. He has a unique perspective on how we can all link arms and fight against death, dying, and destruction without bringing some other baggage. Here's Darren.
Welcome, Darren. Are you with us?
Yes. Thank you, Barry. I'm right here.
Oh, I see you now. Well, tell us all about it.
Well, Focus on Peace came about because I tried working with the left peace movement. So I thought I had to give it a try. Tried to talk to them about the idea of being more inclusive. They seem to think they're already inclusive. I've never understood that idea. But with time, I just came to realize that, especially the far left, the ones that really are behind the big anti-war organization, they just don't want to hear it. I mean, as far as they're concerned, if you're not supporting the Palestinians and immigrants' rights and you don't want socialized medicine, oh, no, no, you're not really for peace. And I think as libertarians, most of the people listening right now, we know that's not true.
Yeah, we do know that's not true. And it's funny because one just has to ask, where did all the anti-war people go when this guy came into office?
Well, actually, that's a good point. I think the ones who were more Democrat, mainstream liberals, they went home. Hey, they got their man elected. He's going to end the war, right?
Yeah.
Well, we all know that didn't turn out so well.
No, it's, you know, one is just the other. That's all. They're totally indiscernible for any reasons other than they're different heights.
Okay.
That's true.
But as far as policy goes, I mean, the transition from Bush to Obama was seamless, including, remember, keeping on the same Secretary of Defense.
Wow.
I was amazed at that. I mean, it was like, can you make it a little more obvious that you're not going to be any different?
Yeah, you know, I hated that they even changed it to the Department of Defense. I think they should have kept it the Department of War, which is what it was up until, what, the 1950s?
Yes.
It said this is what this is for, and we only drag it out when we need to. But now it's just another department, and let's see, if they won't agree peaceably, then perhaps we can persuade them with a couple of nukes.
Yes, unfortunately, they haven't resorted to that one in quite a while, the nukes. But that's exactly right. Call it the Department of War, that suggests that they're using it aggressively. You know, defense, very Orwellian, you know, sounds so nice. Oh, we're only defending ourselves.
Yeah, we're defending ourselves. Like, and I'm not floating in on the issue, but our southern borders, those rampaging Canadians that Harry Brown used to worry us about on the northern border, I mean, it's ridiculous when they're saying it's defense. Defense of what?
Exactly.
I mean, there's no freedom to be won over in the Mideast. What are they kidding ourselves for?
Yes, I mean, it's not about us defending ourselves from anybody. It's about American projection of power overseas.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea that, we have to defend ourselves from Islam, or, you know, before that it was the communists, before that it was the Nazis, you know.
Yeah.
This whole thing becomes ridiculous. We become the most powerful nation in the history of the world, and yet, we're still under attack. We can't defend ourselves, you know. We're not constantly, all in guard and, controlling everybody out there. There is a parallel with the Romans. They were the same way. Everything to them was defending. We're defending the empire, and that's how they grew.
Yeah.
That's how we did it.
Yeah, the mindset is, and I talk to them, sometimes I'm just totally baffled by full-grown adults with educations, seemingly intelligent people who live in fear of little terrorizers behind little Bush. Every little bush, you know, and yes, there was a pun intended, it blows my mind that these people actually are afraid some guy wearing a dress is going to come out and wreak havoc on them and their family. It's mind-boggling.
It is, especially when you look at it from the point of view of people who live in the most powerful empire that's ever existed in the history of the world. And they just can't see the reality, which is that it's not we who need to be afraid of anybody. It is people overseas who have good reason to be afraid of the U.S. military.
Absolutely. And there's no way to scale back a military incursion. There's no way to scale down your military preparedness. You either have to just cut it off or let it ride and grow and grow and grow. I mean, Eisenhower, he laid it out pretty good in his farewell speech. with the industrial military complex and the use of the military to bolster the bottom lines of corporations. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I made the point yesterday. I was saying that there's never been a case where one nation has gone to war with another nation. It's always politicians going to war with other politicians, and the people of their respective nations are just the fodder in the cannons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think we ought to make them go beat each other up. Wouldn't that be at least a hoot?
Well, that would take some courage on their part, and we know they don't have it.
Yeah, I guess they're a little bereft of such things. But, you know, really, the whole war mentality, when people don't realize that all of the expenditure of resources, of time, money, effort, thought, everything that could be put into something productive and creative is clearly only being put into something that is destructive and costly.
Yes, actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because I think it was Ernie who was talking about, we just came from a demonstration over at Lockheed Martin,
mm-hmm.
the King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And that's exactly it. I mean, all those resources that go into not just Lockheed Martin, but other defense contractors and all of that, I mean, it's staggering. It's just absolutely staggering how much better we could live, how much better things could be if those resources were being, let's say, left with the people.
Well, you just... Sorry.
I don't want to make the mistake of my friends on the left who would say, oh, well, let's take that money that goes into the military and all that and spend it on government health care, government education, government job training programs. But that's not the point. I mean, that's the way they would like to do it. Let's just say, you know, stop the spending on all of that stuff and let the people keep it in their own pocket.
What? But then they might gather up some bravado to them because they'd have more independence, and they might stand up to the police. That wouldn't be good.
Oh, well, I guess if you're one of the police, I guess not.
Oh man, it is really, really. I see things that a lot of people don't, and I'm sure you do too. I know most of us who are involved in the movement do. We have all kinds of sources from all kinds of very interesting places, that just contradict what is thought in the public. I mean, what would we do if we didn't have any wars going on right now? What do you think would happen? How did we get along for 100 years? Realistically, without overly engaging in wars. And yeah, I know we've had our incursions since 1817, but they were relatively minor. I mean, on such a massive scale, what would we do without war?
Yeah,
that
sounds like paradise.
Well, are you going to leave us with just that paradise? You mean we're all going to get along?
It would be nice. I think if governments would lead us to war, and... If we could clip their wings, I think the world would be a lot more peaceful.
Yeah, see, I see a lot of the problem, and like Ernie, I'm discouraged by the political process, even though I involve myself in it. I just want to give people the option, the ability to choose what they know is right. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. And we'll be back with Darren Wolf after the break. Darren, make sure you come back with us. We'll be waiting. Folks, this is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.